Well, good evening. All right, let's open up with a word of prayer tonight. Lord, we thank you for the day you've given us today. Thank you for just meeting all of our needs so perfectly. Thank you for the air we breathe. The life that we have, the people you've surrounded us with, the relationship that we now have with you through faith. And Father, as we sang tonight, I pray that you would change us. Lord, thank you for the ability to sing our praises to you, to worship you. Lord, to meet us. Thank you for meeting us, Lord, where we need you in our trials. I don't know what each of us are going through right now in our lives, Lord. Whatever it is, thank you for being exactly what we need in them. And Lord, we do thank you for the Holy Spirit and just the opportunity we have had of late to learn about him and, Lord, the power that resides in us, the power we have access to, the power that you supply us with to be used by you in this world and within the church. And Lord, just pray as you teach us tonight that you would indeed change us, Lord, that you would be working in our hearts, growing us more and more in the likeness of your Son, that we would make an impact in those lives that you've put in contact with us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, moving along, looking at the doctrines of the Holy Spirit. Does the Bible describe the Holy Spirit as a person or a force? Yeah, good answer, yes. It describes it. The answer I'm looking for is most certainly a person, but a person that has a definite influence on us. What are some of his ministries in this age? Grace? Okay, bringing things to our remembrance. Okay, comfort. What are some of the ministries that I mentioned specifically over the past 3 weeks? Shirley? Sealing ministry. Okay, that's right. Baptizing ministry. Filling ministry. Teaching would actually fall into one of those as well. Indwelling, regenerating, convicting, restraining. Okay? A few ministries that we actually didn't talk about in any kind of depth, but they would fall into probably a few of these. It would be the ministry of teaching. The Holy Spirit even prays for us. He intercedes. That's right. He helps. What is the baptizing ministry? Jeff? Okay, the word baptize actually means to place into, and he places us into the body of Christ. How is the filling ministry different from his other ministries? Okay, that's right. Virtually all the other ones happen at the moment of salvation and are permanent ministries that he has in our life. But his filling ministry is a moment by moment and dependent upon our submission or yielding to him. All right. Tonight, moving on from these ministries, we're going to begin looking at spiritual gifts. And while this isn't necessarily classified as a doctrine of the Holy Spirit, it is very much connected to him because our spiritual gifts are given to us by the Holy Spirit. All right? And that's what we're going to spend our time on tonight. Bob Deal said last week that we could spend quite a bit of time. In fact, I guess he's not here tonight, but anyway, he was involved in a study that went for 4 months just on the spiritual gifts. We're not going to spend that kind of time, but we are going to touch on this topic again because it is connected to the Holy Spirit. And to get us started, let's go ahead and turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're only going to look at a handful of passages tonight, but they all deal with spiritual gifts. And the first one I want us to take note of is 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. And it says there, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And just using this verse as a starting point, kind of a jumping off point for tonight, from this verse, what are some things that we learn about spiritual gifts? Jeff? What's that? Okay, they're to serve others. Okay. Minister it to one another. What else? Grace? Okay, each person, each believer has at least one gift. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, you have at least one spiritual gift. Perhaps a few of them. You may have a few of them. And I believe that depending upon one's season in life, our gifts may even vary and change a little bit. I have known men who were very gifted Bible teachers at one point in their lives. But there came a time when they could not teach anymore, whether it be a physical issue or something else. They could no longer teach the way they did, but began to exercise yet another spiritual gift entirely. But our verse very plainly says that each believer has received at least one gift. What else do we learn about our gifts from that verse? Ron?
It's our responsibility.
Okay, we're supposed to be good stewards, right, of what God has given us. We were given the gift to use it in the lives of other people. We have, as Ron said, a responsibility to do so. That's why we've been given the gift. Anything else you see here? The manifold grace of God, the abundance, the multiplied grace of God is what that word means. And actually, the word grace is actually connected to the word gift, okay? But anyway, we've been abundantly given these gifts so that we will use them.
I'm thinking of an angel.
Say that again?
Just the fact that these gifts come
right
from God by His grace.
Absolutely. We don't deserve them. They're out of His abundance, for sure. Use them faithfully. All right, let's turn to another passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to begin just by reading verse 1. It says, and this is Paul, of course, talking to the church at Corinth. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So what is Paul telling us here?
Get smart.
What's the opposite of ignorance? Okay, being educated about them, right? Because we have received the gift and we have a responsibility to use it. Now, let me just, that was kind of our kickoff here, and we're going to spend a little bit more time in 1 Corinthians 12, but let me begin, I guess you could say, if you've been writing anything down, this might be the first thing you write, but let me give you a definition of a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is a divine enablement to excel at a spiritual activity. A spiritual gift is a divine, or it's from God, a divine enablement to excel at a spiritual activity. Oftentimes, as I have talked about spiritual gifts, I've called them superpowers, because they really are. They're superpowers from God. We have the power of God working in us to excel at a spiritual activity beyond, way beyond what we could ever do in our own strength. Okay? There are great encouraging people in the world, but when one is gifted by the Holy Spirit to encourage other believers, there are supernatural effects that take place. While we are all called to do the work of an evangelist, there are those that are supernaturally enabled in communicating the gospel message. So a spiritual gift, again, is a divine enablement to excel at a spiritual activity. Secondly, tonight, spiritual gifts are different than talents. Spiritual gifts are different than talents. I have often heard one person say of another that is really talented, like maybe they're a talented violin player, they will refer to that as a gift. And by all means, whatever ability they have, whatever it is from God, but it's not a spiritual gift, okay? Spiritual gifts are different than talents, and here are a few reasons why. And we'll kind of elaborate on these as we move on. But here are three contrasts between a spiritual gift and a talent. Number one, only believers have spiritual gifts. Anyone can have a talent. Only believers have spiritual gifts. Anyone can have a talent. The second contrast is spiritual gifts come from God. Talents come by nature. And don't read more into that than what I'm saying. Understand, I know that everything comes from God. But that violin player probably acquired some of that through genetics, through her parents or relatives, okay? I am not a basketball player because I don't know of a tall person in my family, all right? So those people that are tall and play basketball, that talent comes somewhat through nature. Anyway, the contrast is spiritual gifts come from God, talents come by nature. And the third contrast is there are a limited number of gifts, talents are many. There are a limited number of gifts, talents are many. And we're going to look at a list of spiritual gifts that we find in the Bible in just a few minutes. But because a spiritual gift is a divine enablement to excel at a spiritual activity, they are different than talents, but know that they may oftentimes be coupled with a talent. I have heard of people that before they trusted Christ, long before they trusted Christ, they could sing beautifully. They had a natural talent that I will never have. They could touch people with their singing and their music. But only upon trusting Christ did God enable them to use that talent and couple it with a spiritual gift to minister to other believers. Okay? It produced a supernatural result. One with the talent of voice may be able to that now supernaturally encourage other believers through the use of their voice and the spiritual gift of encouragement. I have known people. Well, let me say this. Sometimes, though, one's gifting is entirely different from their natural talent. All right? I have known people that could teach. They were good teachers even before they ever trusted Christ. However, it became clear that upon trusting Christ, they were not spiritually gifted to teach the Word of God. They could teach a self-defense class? Great. They were fantastic at teaching self-defense, but when it came to teaching the Word of God, they did not have that spiritual gift. And again, I'm showing you the contrast again between spiritual gifts and talents. I had a woman once say to me, "I think my spiritual gift is old people." And I had to think about that a minute. And what she meant by that was she had a knack of relating to the elderly, okay? And she thoroughly enjoyed ministering to the elderly. Well, she was not gifted in old people, all right? Really, her relationship with the elderly was a love and a talent. And as I observed her, I found that she actually had the spiritual gift of mercy and compassion. And because she related to the elderly so well, that is where she enjoyed exercising that spiritual gift. Her natural preference was with the elderly. So spiritual gifts are different from talents. All right, only believers have spiritual gifts. Anyone can have a talent. Spiritual gifts come from God. Talents come by nature. And there are a limited number of spiritual gifts. Talents are many. So a spiritual gift, again, is a divine enablement to excel at a spiritual activity. Spiritual gifts are different than talents. And then thirdly, spiritual gifts are given by God. I know I've mentioned that, but I want to elaborate on that a little bit. Spiritual gifts are given by God. If you're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's work our way down through this passage, starting at verse 4 now. Verse 4 says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." Did I cover it all there? Okay, there we go. All right. According to these three verses, from whom are these spiritual gifts? Okay, from God. In fact, as you look at this, you actually see all the persons of the Trinity involved here. There are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. According to these verses, do all have the same gifts? No. Do all use their gifts in the same way? Okay, no. There may be two people who have the exact same spiritual gift, let's say of helps, and we're going to name these all shortly here. But one may be a help in doing odd jobs and fixing things around the church building. Another may be a help in the area of setting up a banquet or a potluck or something like that. So the same gifting, but difference and diversity in the ministries and activities. All right, let's continue reading. In fact, I'm losing my voice for some reason, so I'm going to ask somebody to read verses 8 through 11.
Skipping 7
for now.
"For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills.
Okay, so who really is the key person in the distribution of these spiritual gifts?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Okay. Is the person
did all three in one? You're instead.
Well, because they all have different ministries. They are all three in one, three persons, mm-hmm. one God.
Well, do we thank the Holy Spirit the same way as
we pray to the Father through our mediator Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit? You're always addressing God the Father. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still having trouble.
They're all God, so you can just address them all as God. You don't have to address each one individually. But for instance,
the Spirit has so much to do.
He does. He is the power of God in us. Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and move on a little bit. They all have the exact same phone number. That's right. That's right. And if you're talking to one, they all hear. Oh. Okay, all right. Let's go ahead and move on. The key person, though, in the distribution of these spiritual gifts is the Holy Spirit. Would somebody please read verses 12 and 13?
For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one Spirit.
Okay, one Spirit. Looking at those two verses, I guess we could take them all, 8 through 13. And we've answered this question once before, but I just want to make sure we're all clear on this. What is the purpose of our spiritual gifts?
For the body.
Okay, we have a function, a part in the body of Christ, which is the church, you and I, who have trusted in Christ. Can you determine from that passage when these gifts are given? Okay, that's right. Verses 8 through 11 tell us what the gifts are. Verses 12 and 13 more than any, tell us when we receive those. As soon as we have a part in the body of Christ when we've been placed into the body of Christ. And when does that happen? Okay, at the moment of salvation, upon trusting Christ for salvation. Now we skip verse 7, so we need to look at that. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Who has a spiritual gift according to verse 7? Each one. What are spiritual gifts for? Okay, for the common good or profit of all. That's what the NIV says, I think, for the common good. So a spiritual gift, again, is a divine enablement to excel at a spiritual activity. They're different than talents. Spiritual gifts are given by God. And then lastly, spiritual gifts are given for the profit of all. They're given for the profit of all. Every believer is equipped and enabled with at least one gift that is designed to be exercised for the benefit and profit of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been gifted to use it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Actually, no. We looked at a couple passages of Scripture here. We've looked at 1 Peter. We've looked at 1 Corinthians 12. And these gifts that have been listed thus far, we've noted they are there for the profit of all. And as we exercise our gifts, the whole church will profit from it. So what are the gifts that God lists in Scripture? Well, there are about three main passages that list what these gifts are. The first one we looked at already in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Another one is Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll go there at the end if we have time for it. But the next main one that I do want to look at is in Romans chapter 12. So turn there to Romans chapter 12. Okay, I'm just going to read this, and then we're going to take what we've read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what we're going to read here in Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to give you a list of the spiritual gifts. But let me read verses 4 through 8 of Romans chapter 12. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." All right, and I'll end there. And from these chapters, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, let me give you a list of the spiritual gifts. And as we go down through this, and I give you the description of what each of these gifts are, be thinking about yourself. And perhaps which one or maybe several of these may fit you, okay? And we'll talk a little bit more about that fitment or discovering your gifts when we're done with the list. But let's list them out. The first one that I'm going to give you, and these are in no real particular order, but the first one is knowledge. Knowledge. If you were to guess what the gift of knowledge is, what would you guess it is?
Common knowledge.
To know things. Common knowledge, okay. Keep in mind it's a spiritual gift. Ron?
Well versed in the scriptures.
Okay, well versed. Here's a definition for you. Knowledge is the supernatural ability to gain and retain information. The supernatural ability to gain and retain information. God will enable this person who is gifted with knowledge to not only gain information, but to retain it and divulge it in great detail. Vast amounts of information, particularly concerning the scriptures, as Ron said, or ministry things. A person like this is often very scholarly. Many theologians would fall into the category of having the spiritual gift of knowledge. Some of you have met him, But Pastor Dan Slider from Southland Bible Church, I believe, is gifted with the spiritual gift of knowledge. The things that he can recall, I mean, page numbers from books that he read with the information verbatim on it, it's unbelievable. Pastor Nathan Reichert is another one that I believe he's from Las Vegas Bible Church, and I think he is gifted in the area of knowledge. For me, perhaps like many of you, it seems like the information falls out almost as fast as I acquire it. But the gift of knowledge is a supernatural ability to gain and retain information, in particular, scriptural and ministry knowledge. The next one is wisdom. And it is different from knowledge. Wisdom is the supernatural ability to rightly apply knowledge. Wisdom is the supernatural ability to rightly apply knowledge. A person with a gift of wisdom will have that God-given ability to take information, process it, and come to the proper, useful, beneficial, and applicable conclusion. All right? When you identify someone that has the gift of wisdom, oftentimes they will be the one that Christians will naturally gravitate to seek advice. All right? Wisdom is supernatural ability to rightly apply knowledge. The next one is faith. The spiritual gift of faith. Faith is the supernatural ability to trust in the sovereignty of God. The supernatural ability to trust in the sovereignty of God. Regardless of the circumstances, the person who has the spiritual gift of faith will just be able to rest in God. These people are oftentimes some of the most joyous, not always, some of the most peaceable, not always, and some of the most prayerful people you will meet. They have a supernatural ability to just rest, trust in the sovereignty of God. That is the gift of faith.
What did you say, not always, most joyous, most prayerful, and what was the middle one?
Peaceable,
peaceable,
or peaceful, however you want to say it.
Peaceful?
I think that peaceable and peaceful has a different definition. Peaceable is an outward action, isn't it? Okay. Isn't it? Anybody know? Who's our wordsmith here tonight? Peaceable. Is it not even a word? Did I just invent one? All right. All right. Dictionary of Craig. They have an air of peace about them. How's that?
Well, there's a personal peacefulness and peaceable. You have that ability to have even everybody around you to create
okay.
That peace.
Okay.
So if there's any tension, just being around that person, peaceable, you naturally just kind of deflate, you know, it kind of wears off on you. So they just
okay.
Take a situation and calm it down.
Right.
It's
good.
Dictionary.
That would be a man of faith.
Do you want Webster's Dictionary?
Sure.
1888. Yeah, I don't know. Invite or disposed to avoid strife or dissension, not argumentative or hostile,
okay.
A peaceable person, a peaceable disposition.
It's an air about them. It's an air about them. So I didn't invent a word. I invented one up at men's retreat, though, didn't I?
Did.
Yeah.
What was it?
Impactful.
That's not a word?
Apparently not.
Is that good?
I'm going to continue to use it. Someday it will end up in the dictionary, you watch. All right. The next gift is the gift of helps. Helps. This is the supernatural ability to aid those in need. the supernatural ability to aid those in need. And it could be in any area of ministry, but most often this gift reveals itself in aiding the poor and needy, those in dire conditions. Helps us the supernatural ability to simply aid those who have a need. The next one is giving. 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 The spiritual gift of giving. This is the supernatural ability to give sacrificially to God's work and people. The supernatural ability to give sacrificially to God's work and people. This may include finances. In fact, that's most times what we think about. But the emphasis really is simply sharing what one has. Giving of whatever you have. This gift does not require wealth. In fact, many of the people that I have observed with this gift had average or below average incomes. They give willfully, sacrificially, cheerfully, abundantly of what God has blessed them with. Again, it's the supernatural ability to give sacrificially to God's work and people. The next one is the gift of service. The gift of service. That word service actually was translated ministry in Romans chapter 12, that passage that we wrote. But service is the supernatural ability to work under the direction of another. The supernatural ability to work under the direction of another. Again, these that have the gift of service, they are the worker bees in the congregation. They just do whatever needs to be done. They are often behind the scenes making and doing the things that no one else seems to want to do. They're oftentimes the first to arrive for a project and the last to leave. And God has specially enabled them to get things done. I believe that Janine has that gift. And it's really easy to determine if your spouse has that gift because they will volunteer you for everything. Not anymore. No, she's early on. No, it hasn't been the case in a long time. But I am very, don't get me wrong, I am very, very thankful for Janine's gift of service. But anyway. All right. The next one is administration. The gift of administration. This is the supernatural ability to give guidance and direction. The supernatural ability to give guidance and direction. They are typically great organizers, capable of identifying and arranging whatever resources that are needed to accomplish a given task. Supernatural ability to give guidance and direction. The next one is exhortation. The gift of exhortation. 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 And really, so oftentimes it's called the gift of encouragement, okay? Because that's what it is. It's the supernatural ability to encourage people to holy lives. It's the supernatural ability to encourage people to holy lives. It actually speaks of coming up alongside a person, being there for them to give them the courage that they need to do what they need to do. It includes spurring other believers on to spiritual maturity. They are great at discipling people. It also includes correction at times. These seem to always have the right words to say at the right time. They are spirit lifters, cheerleaders, and sometimes goads. Exhortation is the supernatural ability to encourage people to holy lives. The next one is mercy. The gift of mercy. This is the supernatural ability to show compassion. The supernatural ability to show compassion. Those gifted in this area are able to feel the pain of others, to relate to them and show them compassion on that basis. Even when, and especially when, the person doesn't deserve it. That's mercy. That's mercy. The supernatural ability to show compassion. The next one is discernment. Discernment. D-I-S-C-E-R-N-M-E-N-T. Discernment. This is the supernatural ability to distinguish right from wrong. The supernatural ability to distinguish right from wrong. It's being able to readily judge between what is godly and what is not godly. Might also include the ability to discern people as to whether they are sincere or untrustworthy. Again, discernment is the supernatural ability to distinguish right from wrong, godly from ungodly. All right, a few more here. One, two, three, four. Four more we're going to look at tonight, and I've only got 5 minutes. Evangelism, the gift of evangelism. The supernatural ability to communicate the gospel. The supernatural ability to communicate the gospel. They have a heart for it, a passion for it, and a simplicity in clearly and accurately sharing it. I won't even mention that. I've got a little disclaimer I'm going to throw in at the end of all of these. And I was going to allude to it here, but I'll wait because we're running out of time. Pastor, the gift of pastor. Or we could just call it the gift of leadership. What's that?
It's really gender specific, I believe.
Okay. Leadership, another term we could use is overseer. But the gift of pastor is the supernatural ability to lead others. And because this is a supernatural ability to lead others, they do so by being out in front and desiring to show the way. It includes caring for and protecting those who follow and earnestly desiring that they follow well. The gift of pastor is a supernatural ability to lead others. The next one is teacher. The gift of teacher. This gifting is often coupled with pastor. In fact, there are many students of the Bible who believe that the gift is actually pastor-teacher. It's all one unit. However, I have known pastors that were not gifted teachers, and I have known teachers that were not gifted at pastoring. So for the purpose of our class, I'm separating them out.
You're good at both, pastor teacher. Oh.
Amen. Thank you. I will give you that 20 later on. Yep.
Actually, when you said he's just, good teachers, might have both. Now he is a good pastor.
The gift of teaching is the supernatural ability to communicate knowledge. I didn't give you a definition yet. But the gift of teaching is the supernatural ability to communicate knowledge, especially Christian doctrine and its application. All right, the last one in our list for today, and we've got a couple more that we're going to go through, Lord willing, next week. But the last one for tonight is prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the supernatural ability to declare God's word. It has often been connected to revelation, declaring not only what God said, but the prediction of what God was going to do. Prophecy really has two main areas of emphasis. The first one is prediction or to foretell. The other is to proclaim or forthtell. But the gift of prophecy, regardless, is the supernatural ability to declare God's word. Now, having gone through this list, here's my little disclaimer, okay? We must know that every believer, every single believer, has the responsibility to do all of these things, at least to a degree, at certain times. Okay, as Grace mentioned, pastor really is gender specific, but if we narrow it down and call it leader, we're all leading someone. And we all have the responsibility to do all of these things at certain times. All believers at times must teach. All believers at times must lead. All believers at times must proclaim. All believers must oversee. All believers must evangelize. All believers must discern, encourage, help, serve, and learn. But each believer has also been especially gifted by the Holy Spirit in one or more of these areas. These are all abilities that are empowered by the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us to fulfill a function in the church body. Every believer has a spiritual gift, and therefore every believer has a duty to use it, to exercise it consistently. 1 Peter 4:10 again says, as each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, I would imagine that as we've gone down through this list, perhaps there were a couple that kind of caught your attention. You thought, well, maybe this is mine because I do this and that, all right? But one of the best ways to discover your gift is to attempt exercising them all. Because we're supposed to anyway, aren't we? We're supposed to exercise them all, at least to a degree anyway. But as we do that, our gifting will begin to shine through. We will find joy in what we are doing. As a fairly new believer, I did not want to teach. That was the furthest thing from my mind. And my pastor asked me several times if I would. In fact, a couple men's retreats went by, and he asked me each time, will you teach just a 10-minute lesson at men's retreat? And I refused him. In fact, I laughed at him. And then one year, I finally took him up on it, and I liked it. I thoroughly enjoyed doing it. And what's more, a number of people came up to me afterwards and said, I liked it. The rest is history. So if none of these struck you as maybe being your spiritual gift, I would encourage you to find opportunities to try them out. Try them out and see how the Lord might use you and develop your gifting. I did have one more passage, but I think I'm going to leave it to next week. Just one more little brief thing about Ephesians chapter 4. It's a neat thing we'll learn there, but it'll have to wait till next week. But any thoughts or questions on what we've looked at tonight?
Are you going to tell us what our gifts are?
I could guess at some of you.
Could you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I do watch. I watch. I look.
You discern.
I discern the good from the evil. Derek.
I was going to say, they know what it is, but it's confirmed by the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And there's been some people who have, I think, wanted certain gifts, and they clearly didn't have the gifts that they wanted. And that was determined by other people who just saw, no, actually, I believe this is, and it was confirmed just times through multiple people, multiple situations, as you all know. Because what you just said was, I taught, I enjoyed it, but the key is, people came up to you and recognized that there was a gift there that needed to be developed more, maybe, but they saw it from the first time that you taught. And that, to me, is a supernatural ability.
This all kind of comes together here because we're talking about using our gifts because we serve a function in the church. And those people that came and told me that had the gift of exhortation, encouragement.
Amen.
That's the body of Christ. That's the body of Christ.
Amen.
We all serve a function. Any other thoughts? Okay. Let's close in prayer. I do get confused quite a bit, yeah, just in general.
I'm glad that you do, too. Can you get confused and thinking, I lost my train of thought.
You're confused right now.
Can you get confused in thinking that you have a spiritual gift in one area? I don't think that was what I was going to say. Anyhow, I'll have to come back to it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
It'll come back.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, just I don't know exactly where you were going, but yeah, I think oftentimes people are confused about what their spiritual gifts are, and I think oftentimes one of the reasons is they'll look at a list like this and decide and never try anything.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But
too overwhelming.
Well, it's not overwhelming. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Nothing will overwhelm Him.
That's what I was going to say. Can you get confused with thinking that your spiritual gift, because it's comfortable, because you like it, you enjoy it?
Yeah, and I think that's where what Derek probably, what he said would come in, is that I think most times your gifting will be confirmed by others. They're going to notice, yeah, I think you're right about that, or I think maybe all too often there are enough people that say, I think you're wrong about that.
Okay. Or you might think that, you just think this is the way that I am, but it's actually a spiritual gift.
Okay. Now, keep in mind, like I said, oftentimes our gifting will be coupled with our talents,
okay,
but not necessarily. Okay. Yep, but not necessarily.
Maybe you could just tell us all next week what our gifts are.
Okay, well, I'm gonna develop a huge list with all of you on it to try each one of them, and when you've all gone through the list, I'll give you my opinion, okay? Let's pray, should we? All right. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your gifting. I can't even believe, Lord, that you would even seek to use us. As flawed as we are, Lord, thank you. But at the same time, thank you for not only your grace in that regard, but the understanding and your word to us that tells us it's not us anyway. It's the power of you in us. And Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.